I did say Happy Mother's Day to someone this morning, and they said, I'm not a mother. But we all have mothers. And sometimes I think we have to remember that Scripture actually exhorts us to honor our fathers and mothers. And so even though I'm not a mother, I like Mother's Day because I had a mom, and she was a great mom, and I'm grateful for my mom. And I'd encourage you, whether you are a mom or you aren't a mom or you want to be a mom, remember that you have a mom as a gift to you from God. And moms aren't perfect. Some of us had moms that were more challenging than others, but you have a mom that was a gift. And whether she's passed on or she's still around or whatever, keep in mind your gift that God gave you is your mom. When I was, I think, about 4 years old, I was at the beach, and I was walking on the beach with my mom. She liked to go to the beach. We were walking along. I don't know how far. It seemed like a long ways to me, but I was four. We're walking and walking. The next thing you know, coming out of the sand dunes is a gigantic dog coming right at us. And it was a kind of German Shepherdy dog. It didn't look friendly. And when you're four, a dog is essentially the size of a horse. So a big toothed, really angry looking horse was tearing our direction. And I just was mesmerized, not really understanding my life was in jeopardy. My mom grabbed my hand and started running, and I wasn't. And so next thing, I'm getting pulled off this way. And I slipped out of her hand and fell down on the sand. So my mom comes back to where I'm at. And at that point, we were going to have a meeting with the dog. She stepped around me, between me and the dog. And the dog is just coming full speed ahead, barking. And my mom's not real big. She's like 5'4". I never asked her what she weighed, but she wasn't a big person. But she stood there between me and that dog, and the dog came like 3 feet from her, skidded to a stop, and turned out to be a super friendly dog. I didn't think about it at the time, but I thought about it later when I got older, and I wondered if she was afraid or not when she was standing between me and what I perceived to be sure death. I never got a chance to ask her. But I do know in my own experience when I've had dogs come at me and I'm not standing between my child and the dog that I'm afraid. And my mom was just a regular person, and so I'm guessing when she stepped in between dog and me that she was afraid. Then I thought, well, maybe not. Maybe she's so interested and focused on protecting me that fear really wasn't the question. I don't know. I wish I knew. I wish I had a chance to ask her what she was feeling at that time. But what I do know is she stood between me and that dog. And the best part was it was a super friendly dog that came down on the beach every time we went down there after that. And it was fun to play with. But that first time, mom versus 90-pound German Shepherd. My mom was not a fighter in any way. I have no idea what she would have done if that dog, other than just be a snack, but she never wavered, just standing there. And so today, I was asking the Lord, okay, what do you do on Mother's Day? It comes around every year. What do you preach? And Lord, what do you want me to talk about? And I don't know if this sermon will seem unusual for a Mother's Day sermon. Just a heads up, there's a Nazi flag in it at one point. And Judy was happening to glance over when I was working on it. She goes, really? You're going to have a Nazi flag in the Mother's Day sermon? So I'm just going to tip you off ahead of time. Yeah, yes, there is one. And it's not promoting or anything like that. There's a reason for it. But I don't know. But I felt like the Lord had a specific message that he wanted communicated. And it has to do with this text that we read. Says, as it is written, For your sake, we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep for the slaughter. So the setting is these folks that are viewed as though they're sheep for the slaughter, that they're facing death. The background situation here is death is what we're talking about. Sheep for the slaughter means that they're going to go and be killed, and they're viewed this way. And this is what the tension that's there. But then it continues on. It says, no, in regards to being sheep for the slaughter, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And we remember that verse, but I think in times in life, we then forget the whole reason why we're more than conquerors. And so that's really what we're going to focus on is this piece. That Paul, when he's writing that, and he's talking about that we're viewed as sheep for the slaughter, and he's saying, no, that we're not. We're more than conquerors. Why? Because I'm convinced. And he's convinced of a few things, and we're going to look at those. He says, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, and I've grayed out the part in between, we'll get to all the parts in between, but neither death or life will be able to separate us from the love of God. And death is the ultimate finality in the understanding of humankind, and life is the ultimate confusion. No idea what's going to happen moments from now, no clue whatsoever, but what I do know is that somewhere down the road, I'm going to die. So the two things I have is confusion about where things are going, and ultimately, I'm going to die. And those are difficult concepts, and he starts with that on purpose. He doesn't end with it. He starts with it saying, I'm convinced that neither life or death is going to separate us from the love of God. And not only that, neither angels or demons. So he starts with the big, life and death. They're not going to be able to separate us from the love of God, this love that comes from God. We can't get away from by living or by dying. And more than that, in a spiritual context, we can't get away from it and be separated from it from angels or demons. Now, I learned something. When you Google angels, you get all kinds of cool pictures. When you Google demons, it's a little creepy. And so all kinds of stuff came up that I couldn't put up on the screen. But this one's like, okay, this is kind of cartoony. But why I put it up is this. They're real. There are real angels. There are real demons. And the angel's goal isn't to separate us from the love of God, right? It's not. But he puts it in there because angels are powerful spiritual creatures. And if one, for some reason, decided it wanted to separate you from the love of God, it could not. A being as powerful as Michael the angel, if for some reason needed to go and decided to go rogue, couldn't separate you from the love of God. And no demon can either. There are real demons, and they are trying to separate you. They're trying to hurt you. They're trying to drag you down. They would desire your death. None of them can separate you from the love of God. Not only that, neither the present nor the future. Now, the present time right now, whatever's going on in your life, and only you know what's happening in your life right now, even your spouse and your kids and your friends and your family only know so much. You know exactly what's going on in your life right now. Whatever it is, it can't separate you from the love of God. It doesn't have the capacity, it doesn't have the power to separate you from the love of God. Nor does the future, 2019, 2025, whatever's coming your way as the road unwinds, unfolds, unrolls. What does it do? Where does it go? Wherever you're headed on your road, there's nothing on that road that could separate you from the love of God. Anybody ever worry about the future? Tomorrow, it's easy enough to worry about. Boy, a few months from now, next year, what's going to happen? Am I going to be able to retire? If you've had kids, ever worry about your kids? I worry about my kids. I remember the first time one of my kids stayed the night at somebody else's house. I worried about it. Till they day to the next day when he came home, I was worried about him. First time he went to camp. I remembered when I went to camp as a kid, and it made me nervous and just kind of creeped out a little bit. So I worried about my son's worrying about going to camp. I was stressed the whole week he was gone. Worried that he was worried. It was this weird circle. It's the most stressful event with having a child up to that point for me, because I don't know what's happening to him. They're at a lake. I used to be a youth counselor. I don't trust those guys. Let's go swimming at night. Yeah, there's a good idea. So I was worried about everything until he got home. We worry. We're afraid of things. The future is unknown, but this gives us a promise that it won't be able to separate us from the love of God. And then any powers. What does the word any mean? It means every. There isn't anything that's not included now, because there's no power anywhere that can separate you from the love of God. So I looked up, what are people afraid of, just because I was curious, what are people afraid of? And interestingly enough, people are afraid of war. It's one of their primary fears right now. This was a survey that was done just a few weeks ago. One of their primary fears is a fear that war is going to take place, because there are powers in the world right now that are clashing. They're worried about war. This is the one, I told you it was coming. This one surprised me. They were worried about evil. And this is the most I could come up with for evil. I didn't think people worried about evil. But they were worried that there are evil forces in the world that are trying to destroy things, going to disrupt their lives. And they're worried that something out there is seeking destruction. And I tell you the truth, there is. There's not just one, there's lots. There are nations, there are rulers, there are demons, there are all kinds of powers out there. Hitler didn't have a corner on the market on evil. There's evil in every generation, and people are afraid of it. People afraid of the Russians. It was on the list, I'm afraid of the Russians. And that, interestingly enough, I was reading one string of commentaries, and they were worried actually about the communists. The Russians aren't communists anymore, but we get our worries so front and center that we forget what's actually happening in the world, but they become bigger and bigger and bigger, and so we're afraid of the Russians, and we're afraid of the communists, and we're afraid of the Nazis, and we're afraid of the wars, and we're afraid that somebody's going to push the button. Nuclear war in 1971 was the number one fear for Americans. In 2001, it wasn't in the list of the top 20 fears. It was not on the list. 1 month ago, it was number four. It's come back. That there's going to be either a nuclear war or a terrorist strike with a nuclear weapon or something. There are powers out there that have to do with all kinds of things. As a matter of fact, there are powers that are seeking destruction. But that one, that one, that one, that one. We could go on and on. There are none of them that can separate you from the love of God. And I know we're just going over this over and over and over again, but I think we need to hear it over and over and over again. Because you know the one thing we don't see in the news? God. We don't see Facebook posts about how we can't be separated from God. We don't see it, and we turn on the radio and the talk shows are going, and we don't hear about that we can't be separated from the love of God. What we hear about is this craziness and that craziness and this thing and that thing, and there was a gun at this school, and this person got shot, and this and that, and we forget. Nothing can separate us. Neither height nor depth. Why put that in? Mount Everest, tallest place on earth. Mariana Trench, the deepest place on earth. You could actually take Mount Everest and stick it in there and still have 7,000 extra feet, but the 6,000, something like that, big trench. Why would he say that? There's nothing on the physical planet that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. And if that doesn't help, what does it say? Nor anything else in all of creation I could put up pictures after pictures after pictures. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Here's what it says right here. I'm convinced that no anything will be able to separate us from the love of God. You know why? Because of this last line. It's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The reason why nothing can separate you is because Jesus Christ died on a cross for you so that you could be saved and brought back into relationship with God, and then the Holy Spirit will live in you. Holy Spirit is one-third of the Trinity of God. The Spirit of God lives in you. So, it can't be removed. That's what this verse is saying. It's not possible for the Spirit of God to be taken out of you because of Jesus Christ. If He's your Lord, He can't be taken out. Here's what it says in Galatians. We had this piece read. To the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. John 15 says this, greater love has no one than this, to lay one's life for one's friends. That's what Jesus did. Jesus said this, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. That's you. He came to die so that you could live and have life abundantly. There's one catch, John 15, 5. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Well, what does that have to do? It has to do with this. Because He's convinced that nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ. If you stay in Christ, there's nothing that can affect you. Nothing. See? He said this, I'll never leave you. Never will I forsake you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. What does that have to do with mothers? I believe that the job of motherhood comes with two things, joy and fear. I believe that. I've talked to a lot of mothers. Unbelievable joy having children, watching them grow. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but it's a very similar process to the salvation story. God creates someone, and then has to give his life for that someone. Same thing with a mom. That mom is created inside of her, and she gives birth to the child, and then for the rest of her life, will give her life for that kid. Not like stepping in front of the dog, although that's what thing would happen, but it's much more of an emotional thing. It's much more of an investment thing. It's much more of a laying your life out daily thing. It's very much like serving Christ, serving your kids. But it comes with fear. It happens to dads too. I fear for my kids. I worry for my kids. I worry that I'm not going to be able to do enough. I'm not going to be able to protect them. I'm not going to be able to get them where they want to get to. I worry about who they're going to marry, and then I worry that they won't get married, and I worry that they won't have kids, and then I worry that they will have kids. And parenting, motherhood, fear. And I believe it's true. And it's why I believe that we need to keep in our minds that nothing can separate you, your family, God's promise, nothing can separate you from that. There's nothing in all of creation, and nothing in the heavens, and nothing on the earth, and nothing under the earth. There's no time, there's no enemy, there's no anything that can separate your children from God's love. And if it comes down to who do you want on your side? Who do you want on your side? God. What's going to triumph over God? Now, I know we watch our kids go and they do some crazy things and they do some stuff that we think, wow, I wouldn't do that. And we do some things that we think, ooh, I don't think God likes that either. But you know what? God watched us do the same stuff. And here we are. He watched us do the exact same stuff and maybe more, and here we are. And I'm sure my mom and my dad were like, boy, I hope God doesn't kill him. But he didn't. He didn't. And he got me here. And he didn't kill you, and he got you here. And your kids' paths are going to be different, but God has promised you that nothing that they do will separate them from the love of God. And you, as a mother, need to hold on to that. And you need to take that and say, I don't want my fear to influence my joy. I want to learn to trust God with my children because there's no one else that can get them home. Amen? Amen. Amen.